And are we talking this month? We're talking as we run up to Easter. We're talking about Jesus, and this morning is going to be no different. Duncan spoke about covenant last week, relationship, and I'm going to continue on. And two words today will sum up the essence of what I'm going to say this morning, and those are two words: are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll start at verse 15. I've got my key verse here in this first section is verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15, it says, "And he died for all," that's Jesus, "that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." See, we so often look at the outside situations, me included. We look at the outside, we look at the flesh. We see people, we see the outer appearance. But here, Paul is saying, like, you know, that from now on, regard no one according to their external appearance. Even though we have known Christ, it says, according to the flesh, those that were with him, those that saw him walk this earth, they had an understanding, they saw him, they saw the things that he did. Even though we have known Christ, he says in verse 16, according to the flesh, yet now we know him, but no longer, he is now gone. And Jesus said, we went through it last month about the Holy Spirit, and said, like, you know, I go so the Comforter can come. I go to release that Comforter. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. And so Jesus now is gone, and is Paul saying, look, you know, we can't no longer hang on to the things that we saw him do. We have to believe in faith now and just stand for the things we believe in, what he said, and what he said over us. He said, like, go and make disciples of all nations, and you know, I'm going to go through that again about the Great Commission, that God has commissioned us to do these things. So it says that, you know, no longer regard people through the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And verse 17 is the key verse in this first section. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I'll be bold and I'll say he and she are new creations. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Therefore, I'm going to say this verse again. Therefore, if anyone is anyone, that's what they don't have to explain, do I, what anyone means. Anyone. I don't care what colour you are, what race you are, what background you're from, where you come from. This word says if anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. So this first section talks about that in him we are new creations. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you may be saying this morning, but Andrew, not all the old things have passed away. Tell me about it. But it's how we perceive it. You see, this is talking about when we came to Jesus, our spirit man was made totally new. And we have such a hard job understanding this. We can't get it from here to here or here or the other way. We just cannot get our minds around this thing. But the fact is that when Jesus came and when he died and we've come to him as people and we've said, Jesus, I want you into my heart. I receive you. I accept you into my heart. And sometimes we just expect, boom, a strike of lightning to come down and our lives turned totally the other way. For some people it's like that. But for, I would hazard a guess, 95% of those who give their lives to Christ, it doesn't happen that way. You know, but it's not to say that there hasn't been a change in our spirit. It's how we understand that change. in our spirit. It's how we get the revelation of what God has done to our spirit. We're made up of body, soul and spirit. And Paul so many times talks about the renewing of your mind. This the renewing of your soul. Our spirit man has been made right before God. Nothing will change that. We have faith in full measure. We have everything in full measure given to us the moment we come to Christ. And it's here within our spirits. But our old mind, our old man, our old woman, we find it difficult to understand the change that's taken place. You know, and so we sometimes talk about like, Lord, give me greater faith. He can't give you any greater faith. He's already given you every amount of faith you have. It's how you walk out that faith. It's how you step out that faith. It's how you have an understanding of what's happened inside of you. This is the important thing, and this is what we so often miss. You know, we have a difficulty in understanding what Jesus actually did to us. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, they're all there within our spirit man. When God made our spirits new, the day we said, Jesus, I receive you into my life, that was done. As an old preacher friend that I knew years ago would say, it's a done deal. And some of you will know what I'm talking about. It's a done deal. You know, but sometimes we can't take in it's a done deal because we see the same old Cliff, the same old Andrew, the same old Duncan, the same old... He's here, I can say it to you, he's gone in a little while. The same old Bill. Yeah. But we see his outer appearance. But we don't know what's going on inside of him. And Bill is walking. And sometimes I think it's the Bible's about working out your salvation, moving through it. You know, it's taking what God has done in our spirits and then walking in it. You know, if God tells me I'm a new creation... And today, I don't feel much like a new creation. But he's told me I'm a new creation. And so I have to have the faith to believe that no matter what's going on around me, I'm a new creation. I can step over that line that says I'm not here. This thing here that says I'm not. I'm struggling. I've done this stupid thing this week. I've done this crazy thing. I've said these things. I've not read the Bible. I've not prayed. All of these things. You know, forget those things. God says that you are a new creation. The Word said it. I've read it to you this morning. We have to have an understanding of that. And how do we do it? We by stepping out in faith and believing. And speaking out the words. Even though we don't see it. And I used to really struggle with my pastor. Said to my pastor's wife, and some of you have met William Barbie Graham. You know, and if ever I had a cold, I used to, you know, this last few months I've had some really bad bouts of flu and viruses and all. But generally, in the last 8 years in Spain, I've had no problems whatsoever. I used to guarantee once or twice a year in the UK, I'll be floored by some flu virus or whatever. And Barbie would come, and she'd come, knock the door and come in and said, oh, you're not very well today, Andrew. Like, you know, I'll be laying on the sofa. You know, and she'll say, like, you know, all of these sort of things proclaiming that I'm healed in Jesus' name and all these sort of things. And I used to really struggle. I'd say, I'll get a life, Barbie. I've got the flu. Like, you know, can you not see? I've got the flu. Like, you know, it's a natural thing. It happens. I'll get over it. But she was a woman of God who just didn't settle for that. She would say, flu go in Jesus' name. I'm believing for tomorrow. You'll be walking in health and strength. Walking in the health. You know, and I say, oh, dear. She does my head. I say, Wendy, when she goes, she does my head in, that woman does. She really does. But you know, years on, you look at it, you say, yeah, she is just doing what this Word says. But even though it's happening, even though there's a shaking going on in the church, we are more than conquerors in Christ, and we can get over it. But we have to let our minds be worked new. Our minds need to be reminded about who we are. You know, sometimes we say, when you say, you know, I am more than a conqueror, who are we talking to? Yeah. And so often we talk it to other people and other situations. You know, you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And you're there like a little wimp yourself thinking like, you know, I can't cope with all this. You know, and as Cliff said, like, you know, sometimes when you're down low, you can speak life into other people. You know, but when we say things like, I am more than a conqueror, and we're telling people about being more than conquerors, we're talking about our own experience, like, you know, so often, you know, we lie. Because we say, I am more than a conqueror. You know, and our spirits are saying, yes, you are more than a conqueror because Jesus is in your life. But we like lie to ourselves because our minds say, no, I'm not. I'm just a wimp. You know, I can believe for healing in other people more than I can believe for healing. How many of you have said that? How many of you, when you've been ministering, laying hands on somebody and believing for, how many of you have said that? I can believe for the most mightiest healing to take place in other people, but I can't believe it for me. And yet the Word says, you know, I am a new creation. Our spirit man has been totally changed. But we have to remind our bodies, remind our minds, or our soul, you know, of what the Bible says that we are. You know, I'm going to repeat it again in a minute, but you know, there's more than 100 scriptures that tells us who we are in Christ. Write them down. And every time the enemy comes in like a flood, we sing the battle belongs to the Lord, but does it? We fight and we struggle and we try and work through things and we try to do it in our own strength. Whatever you think about the state of your spirit, I'm telling the church, it has been renewed. Andrew, your spirit is renewed. When I was 14, what was that, 40 something years ago, my spirit was renewed as a young person. You know, I had a lot of stuff going. I was a good little Methodist boy. You know, sister spoke the boiler up in the chapel and helped my dad light the fire for the service. You know, didn't do many bad things. But I hadn't given my life to Jesus. I needed to give my life to Jesus. And that day, all those years ago, at age 14, God made my spirit new. And it's been new ever since. I've been trying to work out how to walk in it, how to believe it, how to understand it. And sometimes it's difficult. As you can see from this morning's little episode, sometimes we struggle to see it. You know. We have to renew our minds, the soulish part of our makeup, and by using the faith we have, not the little bit of faith, but the full measure of faith God has put within our spirits the day we came to Jesus, using that, testing it out. When was the last time you saw a mountain move? I'm getting right off my notes now. But when was the last time you saw a mountain move in your life? You don't have to answer me. I'm not waiting for a sort of individual response. I'm just asking you as a church, when was the last time you saw a mountain move in your life? You know, we should be seeing mountains moving day by day, by day, by day, by day, by day, by day. When Wendy and I left to the shores of Plymouth 8 years ago, this last week, we hadn't got a clue. We both come from full-time employment, good jobs, company cars, pensions, a lot. And we arrived in Santander and I hadn't got a clue what we would do. You know, that was a mountain. You know, the one mountain was giving the job up, another mountain was letting the company car go, another mountain was not relying on the pension schemes anymore, another mountain was like, what will we find when we get there? Another mountain was, and day by day by day. I remember once we spoke to Pastor Will and said, you know, when is it that we're actually truly living in faith? And he said, I think you are. You know, you've got no income, you've got nothing, you've got nothing. You don't know what's going to happen next week. You know, when you live like that, you know, it's. When was the last time we saw a mountain move? And church, I encourage you, like, you know, whatever is in the way day by day, our God is bigger than that situation. That he's put within your spirit is bigger than that situation. We just have to allocate it to the mountain. Tell the mountain, you know, how big God is. I think that's a word that Pat brought a while back. Don't tell God how big your mountain is, but tell the mountain how big your God is. And we've had to do that week by week, month by month for the last 8 years. We'll do it tomorrow. And next week and next month and next year we'll do the same again, because we have no knowledge of what things will be like or what's going to happen. We have to just speak to the mountain all the time and say, God, whatever comes tomorrow, I'm bigger than that. We together are bigger than that situation, and you're going to take us through. We have to just take this completely new created spirit within us and we have to speak it out of our mouths. Let our bodies tell what's actually going on. Not what we see, not about our sickness and our ailments. You know, and in the last few months it's been, woe is me, I don't feel very well, and all this sort of thing. I'd be saying, I'd be Barbara Graham, I have to ring her up and say, Barbie, what's the word for me today? You are more than a conqueror in Christ. I curse this sickness in Jesus' name. I stand above it all, like, you know, and that's the heart. She would speak now because she's a woman of faith. You know, God, I want to be a man of faith like that. I want to be a man like Abraham, a man of faith too. You know, and others in Scripture that have been able to go places and don't even know. You know, so Abraham just spent years and years and years doing things. He ain't got a clue. Never had a home, lived out of a suitcase and a camel. His back all his life. You know, and living in, but Scripture says, I think it's in, is it Romans or whatever, somewhere there, and it talks about factors that, you know, they were living in a nation that wasn't their own home and never settled and whatever, because the vision of what God had for him was bigger than where he was, bigger than his circumstances, bigger than what was going on in his life. So he could just say, God, I trust you in this. Then I'm going to get this suitcase, put in the wardrobe, I'm just going to be ready. But when you say move, I'm going to move. Father, because when I know you say move, I know you're moving me because there's increase, there's blessing. I'm going to see my sons and daughters as the sands on the seashore, as the stars in the heavens. I'm going to see the word you've spoken over my life come true, because I'm going to be faithful and obedient to what you call me to do. So things may be shaking around us, things may be terribly wrong. And what do? We try to make ourselves better people. We say, Lord, I'll pray more. Lord, I'll go to all the services. Lord, I'll do this. Lord, I'll allocate so much time a day to reading your word. We just need to believe. Amen. We need to believe who Jesus is. We need to believe that in Christ we are new creations. We need to tell this body and this mind that we have of what God has done in our spirits. And he's made us new. You see, all this that we experience as we try in our own strength to live this Christian life, and all God wants us to do is simply believe and receive. But so often we let the physical win over the spiritual. Our spirit man has been made new, and we need to start feeding our minds with what God has done within us, telling our souls what Jesus thinks about us, stepping out in faith and believing that God has made us new. Encourage you, this is my own little prayer, but make your own prayer up. Pray every morning before you do anything. Something like this: Lord, as I start today, help me to understand what you've done in my life. Help me to make today a walk of faith. And as I walk this walk of faith, Father, may my mind and understanding be made new. Let's ask God to just help us to renew, to start speaking the things that that God is saying into our hearts. And even though everything around us says it isn't, and people say it isn't, and situations say it isn't, say it is in Jesus' name. Amen. Because I know that I know that I know he's done something deep in my heart, in my life, in my spirit, that will never ever, no one can ever take that away from us. You know, we are stronger than we think. We are so stronger than we think. And just a couple of verses over there, it goes on from 17 and 18. So now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass. In other words, he's saying that, not sort of saying, you know, you've been a rotten bunch like me this morning. You know, he didn't say that. He doesn't impute our sin, because he became sin to take away our sin. So he wiped the slate clean for us, so we don't have to carry the burden of sin any longer and trespasses. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, for me and for you. He who knew no sin. Jesus, who was the sinless Son of Heaven, who came. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for me and sin for you, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He did it so that in him we could be the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we, as we just read that, we are made righteous. I don't feel righteous. I'm trying to make myself. Don't try and make yourself righteous. Christ has made you righteous as you ever want to be. You just have to say, Lord, help me walk in this righteousness. I know you've done it in me. And sometimes I don't feel very righteous, but God, help me to walk in this righteousness. The fullness of what righteousness, what does it mean? It means free from guilt, free from sin, no burden anymore. The burden, I used to sing a song years ago, burdens were lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, my burdens were lifted at Calvary. On that cross, Jesus took our burdens and set us free and gave us a new spirit man inside us. He made us a new creation. He made us righteous. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. It says these words. Verse 9. Now we'll start at 8. Now we'll start at 6. Maybe we'll start at the beginning of Colossians chapter 1. No, but let's start at 6. And you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Is that in him, in Christ? So walk in Christ, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. This verse 8 is a warning, and it's as relevant in the church today as it was when it was spoken to the church at Colossae. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And these are the verses 9 and 10. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, Son. Sorry?
All the fullness.
Yeah. All the fullness. For in him dwells all the fullness. It didn't say a bit of the fullness or part of the fullness. It says all of the fullness. It says, and you are, it said, in him, for in him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10, and you are complete in him. You know, we have this completeness in our spirit that we've been talking about this morning. Yeah, our bodies may be weary and getting old and everything, but our spirit remains full. And we have the openness of heaven, as it were, in our spirits. So everything God has for us. We talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these verses here tell us, for in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. So everything pertaining to heaven is in him. And he said, and you are complete. You, Cliff, Kay, Richard, Linda, Martin, Jill, Dick, everybody, Sue, everybody here, you have this available to you in him today, in Christ. You have the whole of heaven's glory, power, majesty available at your disposal within your inner man today. We have to just let it out. Let it out. Let it out in prayer. Let it out. You see, when we have this happening in us, we want to do things. We want to pray. We want to read the Word. We want to do things. And I really believe that in this flush of youth at age of 14, when I gave my heart to Jesus, you know, I was living this out. And the world and life and job and hours of working and everything that we do just, for saying a better word, it rapes it from us. It takes away from us this that Christ has put within us. But it's still there. This is what I encourage you this morning. That formless, that new creative spirit that God has put within you, it doesn't change. It is there for all time. From the day you got saved, the day that you go to be with Jesus, you have that available to you every single day. You have the fullness of the Godhead. All of the fullness of the Godhead through Christ available to you. It's like having something on demand. It's like to talk about TV on demand. Yeah, we have heaven's storeroom on demand in our inner man this morning. We just need to start walking in it, believing what God has done and thanking Him for what He has provided for us. And you are completing Him who is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in Him. We are new creations. We were made righteous, sin-free, guilt-free. We are complete in Him. And Christ has made available to us in our spirit man everything that we need to live the life that Christ has called us to live. And a couple of verses further on, 11 to 13 says, in Him you were also, this is the Duncan normally does a bit on circumcision, but I'm going to do it today. You know, we're not going to come and get circumcised. I remember a meeting once, I think it was a men's conference, somebody says, right, we're going to do a circumcision today. You know, we're all the uncircumcised ones form a queue on that side, you know, sort of panic sort of reigns through the meeting sort of thing. It says, but listen to this, we don't need to be circumcised by physical hands. It's a circumcision of the heart that God is doing. In Him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. You see, we have our identity in Him. We identify with Him. We often say when people go into the water, through the waters of baptism, you know, you're buried into the water, come up, you know, buried, old life gone, new life, raised into the new life. And I think that's so important that we realize that we have our identity in Him, buried with Him. When we come, we get saved, we go through the waters of baptism, God deals with our lives and He puts this new spirit within us. There's an identification with Him. We identify with Him. He's my Saviour. We start saying things like that. You know, we'll say before, He was a Saviour. Now we're saying, He is my Saviour. He is my Lord. He is my King. He is my peace. He is my healing. He is my salvation. He is in Christ. All the here. Verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Not some of them, but all trespasses. Having wiped them out, verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. When anybody has pointed the finger at you and wrote about you, forget it. In Christ, you're set free. Amen. Whatever the devil has put and said, awful sinner, I'll love you. That's what the devil says. Jesus says, saved from sin, and I love you more. I love you more this morning. We have identity with Him. We are alive in Him. Do you feel alive this morning? If you have breath, Scripture says, another Scripture, while I have breath, I will praise Him. And when we're dead, we won't be able to praise Him, except in heaven. But here, while we're here, and while we have breath, let's praise Him. We're doing a lot of that this morning. Bless you guys, some of the songs you brought this morning are words that fitted perfectly with what I wanted to bring this morning. You know, I'm not speaking this morning about a ritualistic, legalistic observance of religion. I'm talking about an identification with Jesus. Because Lord, You've put a new spirit within me. I identify with You, just as You identified with me at Calvary. As we approach Easter, we'll celebrate together the fact that Jesus identified with us, with this world. He was God that became a man, experienced the horror of death on the cross, carrying the load of men's sin, feeling the loneliness of the turning away of His Father's face. See, Father couldn't look on the sin that the Son carried. What an awful. It must have been just like when Jesus was took away and Peter sat by the fire and denied the Lord. And the Scripture says, and Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter must have thought, I've done exactly what He told me I'd do. I've done it. Why did I do that? Why didn't I stand for him? Oh, the loneliness of being left by yourself to carry the burden of other people. Especially for us, when we're in a situation with families and things that we carry burdens for others, that the Lord carried the burden of a world, past, present and future, on his shoulders and dealt with it in a beautiful way. He did this so that we could identify with him. He identified with us so we could have full access to everything heaven has for us. Jesus became as we were so that we could become as he is. Just before I just have a few verses to wrap up this morning, unless, Will, if you'll play this video, you put it really loud volume on so we can hear the words.
Of course.
I want you to listen to this. I want you just to receive it in your heart. Yeah, we'll put the blind down here. And Phil can just turn that middle light off there, all the lights there. I just want you to just to receive this, because it really touched my heart, and I thought, well, if this young man can have a relationship with Jesus the way that he is, you know, I need to recognize that relationship in me. And my prayer is every one of us will just see that this morning in this very, very short testimony. Yes. Yes, it's got the same as Caleb.
Hello, I'm Ryan Pittman. Here's my testimony. I
read the writing.
Grew up in a green home. I believed in Jesus about 4 years ago. I asked him to be my savior. I was baptized at church. It was a great day. Everyone clapped. Because of Jesus, I have a third heart full of his love. The Holy Spirit helps me make resources. God is teaching me not to fuss with mommy and daddy. God made all of us different. Because I have an adoption. But God also made us all the same. We all
Can you put that light on for me, Phil? Okay, thanks. The middle. Thank you. A beautiful little testimony. God made us all different. Yes, he did. But somehow, we are all the same. A spirit man needs God. We need God. When I watched that, I must have watched that 20 times. I watched it again and again and again and again and again till it really sunk in to my spirit what this young man was saying. And I don't care whatever disabilities you have, what difficulties you have in your life, whatever is going on, you know, that, you know, I'm saying that, pointing the finger at me as well, whatever is happening, we all need God. We all need the Father. We all need that knowledge of him. I love the bit where he said, you know, that God is teaching me, the Holy Spirit is helping me to make choices. Now, not to fuss with mummy and daddy. In other words, not to get on their back all the time, not to expect them to run around, but to make his own way in life. You know, so often we can fuss around those and make people work hard for us when we should be moving on with our lives. It really spoke to my heart that did. It just did just something in my life. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Yeah. towards the end now, a few more minutes. I know I always say that, go on for an hour, but I won't today. Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7. This is a wonderful passage. Again, you always want to start from the beginning. I'm going to start from 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. And this sitting together in heavenly places, I was wondering what it was. I did a bit of research into it. You know, in Christ we receive grace and kindness. And I looked this up, and in the Greek, apparently, heavenly places, we always think about, like, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll be raised up into heavenly places with Christ. And yes, that's true. You know, we're gonna receive that that heavenly reception with the Lord, and however you believe in that, that's fine, because it's a dead cert that one day we shall see him face to face and meet him, no matter where our backgrounds of how it's going to happen or whatever. But you know, some things are not worth arguing about. One day we shall see him, and we shall be like him, and we will know him, and he will know us. But I just looked at this heavenly places, thinking maybe it means that when we actually meet him, and when he raises us up. And in the Greek, it doesn't mean that. It actually means here the invisible realm surrounding us today. So today, he is able to raise you up in your situation, in your circumstance, so anywhere today, into heavenly places with Christ. Because of that spirit man, because of the new creation within you, if you will allow him, if you will walk in it, if you'll have that step of faith, he will enable you to live that life with him today. How many times have we preached it from the front of this church? What God wants you to do, use what's in your hand. I may not have a lot, Lord. What is in your hand today? Use it for the glory of the kingdom. Use what you have. You may not have much, but I've said it so many times from the front of this church, let's just use what we have to bring glory to him. What did Ryan say? We are all different, yet we are all the same. We all need God. Ephesians 1, let's go back a page. And here there's this wonderful wealth in hymns here. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Again, the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, with which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And then it goes in verse 11, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purposes of him. And then in verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. You see, there's in those few short verses there are lots of in Christ's and in Christ we are included in that section. We have redemption. We're brought back, it means. Brought back at a huge price. Redeemed. You go something, if you take something to a, what's the place where you take? A pawnbroker. When you've got the money to buy it back, you go back and you redeem it. And Christ has done that. He's basically come. Jesus bought you with a price. The full price there, and has redeemed you. So we have redemption. Jesus' life was used to bring that redemption to you. We have forgiveness in Him. In Him we are accepted. In Him we are made blameless. In Him we are made sons and daughters. In Him we are given wisdom. In Him we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. In Him we have given an inheritance. And that inheritance, that Holy Spirit is a seal of that inheritance. What tells us, what reminds us, the Comforter who has come reminds us of who we are in Christ. We so need to be walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit that we have this awareness of what He has done for us. And very briefly now, I'm not even going to turn to the Scriptures because I want to finish. Acts 17. So in Ephesians 3:12 it says we have boldness and confidence in Him. Acts 17:28 it says in the very first part, section A of that verse, it says in Him we live and move and have our being. We've sung it, haven't we? In Him we live. We sing it. We need to believe it and walk in it and realise it's true. In Him we have life and strength. We flourish in Him. Our whole lives flourish in Him. John's Gospel 15:1-8, it talks about abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Jesus says, I am of the vine and my Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. Some scripts, some different translations use. We bear much fruit when we abide in Him. Much fruit. And yes, again, we've talked about it so often, we don't like the pruning. But there is much fruit when we let the Father prune us. It brings forth a new life, new growth. It hurts a bit at the time, but a loving Father will always not choose not to hurt us sometimes in a little way, because He knows that by that little bit of poking with the prod, you know, with the shepherd's crook, He will push us on to greater things in Him. John's Gospel again, 17:25-26. Well, this is the part where Jesus is praying to the Father for Himself, then He prays for the disciples, then He prays for us. And the two verses at the end there, basically, it talks about the love that is shown to us from the Father. Are we living too safe? Ask yourself the question today. And I've already asked it. When was the last time I let go and let God? When was the last time I saw a mountain moved? Make every day a step of faith. It might be a small step, but it's a step. If Ryan, with all of his problems, could have that servant's heart and recognise the Holy Spirit is helping him not to fuss with mummy and daddy, make a stand for Jesus, so can every one of us, and make a stand. I read this recently. It's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you that counts. And with that, I'm going to finish this morning. Praise God.